for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, May the 22nd, 2008. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service teaching on Understanding, the Truth That Sets You Free.
Well, it's always good to be here. I feel like I'm back with my family. Family that understands me, at least most of you do. Praise the Lord. Well, I love the scripture that Clement shared. He always blesses me, but when he says that in the beginning was the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You know, today in the church, Joel says, the pastures of the wilderness have dried up. There's no word in so many places, and I'm thankful for Lake Hamilton because there's green pastures here where the sheep can eat and feed on the Word of God. Today, the body of Christ should be steeped in the Word of God, and they're not. They run after every wind of doctrine, and I don't stand here claiming that I know everything. I know a little bit, but I need to know more. All of us do if we're to stand in these days that we're living in. You know, you hear so much about the glory, and I love what I totally agree with what Clement teaches. But, you know, so many times people think they're going to have the glory while they're walking in sin. In Matthew, it says that if your eye is clear, your whole body is full of light. And the more you decrease, the more you die to your flesh, the brighter the light gets. And you will reflect God's glory as you live and walk and have your being in Him and as you walk in the Spirit. Today, because the Word of God is not taught in most places, I've never in my life seen so many self-appointed prophets in my whole life. How do I know they're self-appointed? Because most of what comes out of their mouth does not line up with the Word of God, and the sheep who've not been sitting in green pastures run after it. Just run everywhere after it. One of the prophets in 2005 was caught living a homosexual lifestyle and an alcoholic, and I understand was church disciplined. And I started listening to this man back in the late 1980s and the early 90s because my brother-in-law was a pastor of a church and my little sister, and they were getting involved with these prophets. And so I listened to hours of their cassette tapes, and they didn't line up with the Word of God. So I wasn't surprised when one of them, the main one, was caught living a homosexual lifestyle and an alcoholic, and the other one was caught church discipline for adultery. This one man said that in the late 1980s that there were going to be two-thirds of the world saved in this great revival. That does not line up with Scripture. There's a narrow way that leads to eternal life, and the Bible says, "Few there be that finds it." And so a false prophet tries to make the narrow way look broad. And so if you've got your Bibles, and I hope you do, go to Jeremiah 23. And one thing, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe some of you, I haven't really studied this out, and I stand here for you to correct me, but is there any place in the Bible where a true prophet did not teach that men should repent of their sins? Is there any place in the Word of God?
Only message a prophet ever had.
Right. And so these prophets, these so-called prophets today, there's no word, there's no reverence, there's no repentance, and there's no cross. Can I tell you, any doctrine that leaves out the cross is another gospel and another Jesus? And so I really believe with all my heart that God wants to use us to try to ask God to open our eyes, but I want my eyes open some more. But to inform the body of Christ the difference between strange fire and the true fire. You know, God is a consuming fire. Jesus said that He salted the earth with fire. Nobody's going to escape the purifying fire. The fire will do one of two things to you. It'll either purify you or it'll destroy you. And so whenever you hear them in a meeting and you hear them exalting fire or exalting angels, you know, Jesus said the Holy Spirit, when He comes, He will glorify me, not Himself, not another person, not fire, not angels. He'll glorify Jesus. He said when the Holy Spirit comes, He will do three things, at least three things in any Holy Spirit meeting. He'll convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And if those three things are not in the meeting, you're not in a Holy Spirit meeting, you're in an unholy spirit meeting. And so God wants us to walk in repentance. It's not acceptable for us to live in sin. You know, in 1 Timothy, it said that it gives the credentials of an elder. He must be a man above reproach. Where is the integrity and the moral purity in some of these so-called prophets today? And so I encourage you to, if you've got internet, some of the most popular ones that you know about, get on the internet and start researching, do a background check on them, and see, before you uphold their doctrines or run after them, see about their credibility before the Lord. The Bible says in Acts that God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. Hello? It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict us of sin. These prophets teach that Joel's army is an army of militant Christians. If you read in Revelation 9, it talks about the locusts that come up out of the pit of hell, and their king is Abaddon and Apollyon. And then the book of Joel, if you read the whole book of Joel, you'll see they're the gnawing locusts, the creeping locusts, the stripping locusts, the locusts that burn down the pastures. And so we need to know the Word of God. And I believe that we've all been under attack. I know I have. But it's causing me to press into God more. You know, you can have attacks, but then if you get attacked physically, you really know how to get a hold of the horns of the altar, right, Dr. Noel? And so God wants to work in all of our lives, and as Clement said, whose report are you going to believe? Let's believe God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, what I want to teach tonight, is on understanding. Why we need understanding, how to have understanding, how to lose your understanding. Understanding is the truth that makes you free. In John chapter 8, verse 32, he said, "If you're truly my disciples, if you abide in the Word, and if you abide in the Word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And so understanding is the truth that makes us free. And so we need understanding to live in these days to be able to have discernment, because discernment is lacking in the body of Christ today. There's so many strange things going on. The Bible says, say to wisdom, you're my sister, and say to understanding, you're my intimate friend. Understanding is the knowledge that keeps me from perishing. And Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you'll cover us with your precious blood. We just ask you to loose your holy angels all over this place. We thank you that we've been raised to sit with you, Lord, in heavenly places far above principalities and powers. And we take our seat in the heavenly places, and we bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. We bind you on the earth and in the heavenly places. We forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us at this meeting or anything that concerns us, our health, our eyes, our finances. We just command you to loose everything that concerns us. And we bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, over and over in the Bible, Jesus said, to him who has ears, let him hear. Now, they all had ears, but they didn't all have spiritual ears. Now, I want to test you just a moment. And Gwen told you to do something when you go to the dining room. Now, what was it? Go to the other end. Every time he says that, every time I come, I watch people after he says it, and then I usually give my little spiel. And I go in there, and there's people sitting at the end of the table on that end. The purpose is he wants you to go to the end so you won't block the way. And some of you, even after saying that, I don't want to put a curse on you, so I won't say it. But if you have ears to hear, and I don't have ears to hear like I want to hear. I want to hear more. I don't have eyes to see. Some of the things that are going on in the world, I'm saying, Lord, what in the world's wrong with me? If they're doing that through New Age demons, what's wrong with me? You know what I'm saying? So I'm examining my own heart. But I do know what the Word of God says, and I do know what's true and what's false. Another prophecy that this particular man gave was that in one day, every hospital in the world is going to be emptied, and everyone in the world is going to be seeking the Lord. They'll be seeking the Antichrist. There's a remnant that's going to be saved out of this big religious conglomerate. Jesus said, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. Obedience. And so this is one reason I love Lake Hamilton. It's because this is a green pasture. And let me tell you, there's not many out there. Sometimes we think, what's wrong with us? We have this little tiny group. What in the world's wrong with us? It may be because something's right with you. You know, our little church has been 20, 25 people, and we're not trying to excuse anything. It's not my church. But you know what? There's a pure word that goes forth from there. A word of repentance. The cross is taught. Die yourself. Give up your life that you might find it, Jesus said. And I think what the Lord's telling me, every place you give up your life, he's telling you this too, you'll find it. What is your life? Is it your eyes? You know, with me, it's my eyes. My whole family died almost blind going to doctors. So that didn't work. So my faith, I'm not saying I'm not going, but I'm saying my faith is being tested. But maybe if I give up my life, maybe I'll find it. That's what God's Word says, not maybe, I will. So Lord, I dedicate my eyes to you, and we dedicate ourselves to you for your glory and your honor. And Lord, whatever we need to fulfill your purpose and glorify you, we will have in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask that you open, enlighten our eyes, Lord, that we might see you in a greater way, that we might be able to hear you more, Lord. I want to hear you. I tell you, almost every morning I scream out to God, God, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear you because I don't hear you that good. I want to hear the Lord. And so we need understanding because it's the truth that makes us free. And that's why God says, say to wisdom, you're my sister. And say to understanding, you're my intimate friend. Jesus said in Luke 21:34, be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, that that day comes suddenly on you like a trap. You know, some of you may get mad, and I hope you don't leave the camp But can I tell you that drunkenness is not a blessing, it's a curse? The Bible talks about, and we see how many times here I have it written down on another page. The Bible says drunk 44 times, drunken 5 times, drunkenness 7 times, be sober 7 times, be on the alert, keep on the alert approximately 14 times. I don't know about you, but I have a hard enough time being totally sober. If I'm standing up here and I can't stand up and I'm acting silly and goofy when God's Word says put away coarse jesting and silliness, put it away.
Amen.
The scripture they use is that when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, people thought they were drunk. And I understand that the priest couldn't stand when the presence of God entered the temple. I have one man that said, you know, one time, he said, I went to something where revival had really broken out in Kentucky or someplace. And he said, I was filled with the Spirit. He said, the presence of God came on that place where nobody could stand up. Everybody was on their face before the Lord, repenting of their sin. And he said, and when I stood up, he said, I was kind of drunk when I stood up because of the presence of God. But can I tell you, beware when you're in a meeting where there's no word, no repentance, no cross, and no reverence. And so it tells us in Luke 24, in Ephesians, it says, be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but, or dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're either filled or you're drunk. If you do a word study on wine and new wine, years ago I did this, pulled up every scripture on wine, and I saw that for spiritual adultery, if we pray a prayer to receive Jesus as Savior, we're going to be the bride of Christ. And if our heart goes after another lover, we're a spiritual adulterer or a spiritual harlot. In other words, if Jesus isn't Lord of my life, something else is, whatever I'm let control me. And so God has a table, there's a table of the Lord with good wine, good bread, and there's a table of demons where God takes, for the harlot, he mixes up a potion of wine and gives it to the harlot and then makes her drink it. So it's really a judgment on spiritual adultery. I don't have to tell you that we're living in a world of chaos. The one world order is just moving a lot, escalating. I mean, we just see it going fast. And can I tell you, some of the moves that I'm seeing is coinciding with the one world government. I see the one world religion, where there's no repentance, coinciding now to fit with the one world government. The other day I started researching and I got into Hedgewitch, which is Wynne Worley's website, and there was an article there where four of these prophets were, and it was taken from one of these prophets, well-known men, taken from his tapes, where he and three others, and I don't know who else, were knighted into the Knights of Malta. And that's an occultic organization that will help with the one world government. So be careful. Be sober. Be alert. For your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Jesus said that you have to deny yourself, and if you're going to come after him and take up your cross and follow him. And we need understanding to survive in these days. Discernment, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, prudence, discretion are all words that go together. Words that all are interrelated. Discernment means the power or faculty of mind by which it distinguishes one thing from the other. It means acuteness of judgment, power of perceiving, differences of things or ideas and their relations and tendencies as the eras of youth often proceed from the want of discernment. The other day a friend of mine was watching a Christian program where there was all kinds of miracles, signs and wonders, gold dust, feathers, all kinds of miracles. And then the man said this. He said, it's not, the accuracy of a prophecy is not nearly as important as the glory on the one who delivers it. Hello. That is a fault. That is right out of the pit of hell. Oh, I told y'all to go to Jeremiah. Go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23. You know, I'm not saying that some of these people don't love the Lord. I'm not saying they're willfully involved in the occult, but I can tell you there's a mixture there. If you start studying how they got some of their things, they're in, you know, up into the third heaven. And anyway, in Jeremiah 23, verse 1, God says, "Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who are tending my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not attended to them. Behold, I'm about to attend to you for the evil of your deeds, declares the Lord. Then I myself shall gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and shall bring them back to their pasture, and they will be fruitful and multiply." Verse 10, it says, "For the land is full of adulterers, for the land mourns because of the curse. The pastures of the wilderness have dried up. Their course also is evil, and their might is not right." Verse 14, "Also among the prophets of Jerusalem, I have seen a horrible thing, the committing of adultery and walking in falsehood. And they strengthen the hands of evildoers." You know how I strengthen the hand of evildoers? You may come to me and say, "Well, you know, I have an anger problem." And I may say, "Well, you know, everybody's got a little anger." I'm strengthening your hands to do evil. And everybody has had anger. But that is not to justify it. We're to overcome it. Did you know that anger, depression, fear, resentment, unforgiveness, bitterness, can I tell you those things are not acceptable to God? Fear is faith in what the devil says instead of faith in what God says. And so we all have had these things and have some of these things, but we're going to overcome them. If we are God's children, we're going to overcome these things. It's not acceptable for me to have anger. Unless it's be angry and sin not, that means don't let your anger turn into sin. You've got till sundown to get over it. And start asking the Lord, "Lord, where is this coming from?" Chris says it this way, your anger is tied into a hot wire that's connected to an idol. All of these negative emotions are connected to idolatry. You see, you want total peace, give up your life. Right? You want to get over your fear, give up your life. You want to get over your anger, give up your life. You know why we get depressed? Because things don't work out the way we think they ought to work out. Okay, here it says the committing of adultery. And I've discovered if I want total peace, I have to give it all up. And I was in total peace till last week. No, I'm in peace now. I mean, I'm still seeking God as to what He wants me to do. I don't want to be so stupid. And so, Lord, I pray that whatever we're supposed to do, we have peace. And whatever we're not supposed to do, we won't have any peace. In Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, that you've ordered our steps. It says, the committing of adultery and walking in falsehood. And they strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one has turned back from his wickedness. All of them have become to me like Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? They got burned, didn't they? It says, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I'm going to feed them wormwood and make them drink poisonous water, which will make them drunk. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, pollution has gone forth into all the land. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying to you. Now, they're true prophets, but, you know, to me, you don't have to. You know, I think Dave Wilkerson is probably pretty much close to being prophetic. Somebody called, when I was researching the prophet, somebody called his office and wanted to know why he didn't speak in the United States. And whoever answered the phone said he very rarely gets invited to speak here in the United States. Does that tell you something about the condition of the church? Does it make you feel, you know, it makes you feel a little better because you've been thinking, what in the world's wrong with me? You know what I'm saying? Does the Bible say, woe, when men speak well of you? Was there ever a prophet in the Old Testament that was spoken well of? Hello? Was there any in adultery and homosexuality? I don't think so. It says they're leading you in futility. They speak a vision of their own imagination, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, and I want you to write by despise me, I want you to put Psalms 81:15 there, which says, those who hate the Lord pretend obedience. And that's the New American Standard. So those who despise the Lord are pretending obedience. And it says in Psalms 82 or 83, those who exalt themselves despise the Lord. It says, the Lord has said, you will have peace, and for everyone who walks in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say, you're saved by grace. Calamity will not overtake you. It's okay. Since you're saved by grace, and thank God we are saved by grace. But you know what? Grace commands you to do something. To deny yourself. Give up your lustful desires. That's in Titus. Thank God for grace. Thank God for His grace. But there's people that believe that doctrine, and so if I believe that, you know, I can do anything, I'm still going to go to heaven, does that get me cleaned up? No. That is a damnable doctrine. They say calamity. You know what? You don't obey to be saved. You obey because you are. And if you're truly God, there's areas of our life that we're working on. And I don't think we'll ever quit working on those areas till we enter eternity. And then we'll be perfect. It says, they say, calamity will not overtake you. And if you question what they do, they say you have a religious spirit. It says, but who has stood in the counsel of the Lord that he should see and hear his word? Who has given heed to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord has gone forth in wrath, even a whirling tempest. It has swirled down on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord has not turned back until he has performed and carried out the purposes of his heart. In the last days you will understand it. I did not send these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, now here's the test, they would have announced my words to my people and would have turned them back from their sins and from the evil of their deeds. So a true prophet is going to not tickle your ears. He's going to tell you to repent of your sins. There's another place, I believe it's in Ezekiel 13, where it says that through the things they do, they can cause the souls of people to fly through the air like a bird. Well, go to Ezekiel 13. They whitewash the wall. It says they don't go up in 13:3. You have not gone up into the breaches, nor did you build the wall around the house of Israel to stand in the battle on the day of the Lord. They see falsehood and dying divination, who are saying, the Lord declares, when the Lord has not sent them, yet they hope for the fulfillment of their word. You see, the breach is the doorway of when... In other words, the doorway where sin entered. You know, for example, you might have depression. To heal the breach, you go back to the doorway and find out where the depression entered. And that's healing the breach. You can cut down a tree, and if you don't get the root, it's going to grow back. But if you get to the root of things, it won't come back. And the key is walking in repentance. Okay, wisdom is the right judgment concerning religious and moral truth, true religion, godliness, piety, reverence of the supreme being, and the love of his character. Discretion is the quality of being discreet, prudence, that discernment which enables a person to judge critically of what is correct and proper, united with caution. Nice discernment and judgment directed by circumspection, which is caution to all the facts and circumstances of a case and to the natural probable consequences of a measure with a view to correct a course of conduct to avoid unfavorable results. Prudence is the habit of acting with deliberation and discretion. Wisdom applied to practice. Knowledge is learning, the illumination of the mind, a clear and certain word of God. And understanding encompasses all of them. You can't have one without having all of them. Understanding means to be able to separate mentally or distinguish and to comprehend, to attend, to consider, to be cunning, to have intelligence, to know, to look well, to perceive, to be prudent, to be skillful, to teach, to deal wisely, which depends on the power of discerning. And these elements are lacking for the most part in what calls himself Christian. A big percentage of the people that call themselves Christians today are asleep and spiritually drunk. And I just want to give you a few reasons why you and I need understanding. Matthew 12:43, Jesus said he's going to take away salvation from the Jews and give it to a nation producing the fruit of it. So you need understanding to produce fruit. And in the parable of the sower, it lists four types of soil. There's the soil where the seed falls beside the road. That represents a person who hears the word, doesn't understand it, and the devil steals it. The second type is the seed, which is the word of God, is sown on hard ground where it has no depth of soil. And the minute the sun hits it, it shrivels. Because have you ever planted a plant and it didn't have a deep root? You're just hanging on by a thread. Have you ever had a garden and you had one little plant? If you don't go out there and water that every day, the sun will just dry it up. But if you go out there and dig around it and put dirt around it, you know, it'll grow. But the second type of soil represents a person who has no depth, and the minute the circumstances of life hit it, he just falls away. The third type is the seed that's sown among the thorns, which represents the worries, the cares, the pleasures of this world, and it chokes out the word of God. So the first three don't even produce. But it says the fourth type of soil is like that good sandy loam. And I used to live in a town, you could just drop any kind of seed in the dirt and it would just grow. It was the most amazing soil. But the fourth type of soil is a person that plows up the ground and makes it like that good sandy loam. And it says that it receives the word with understanding and produces fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. So you need understanding to produce fruit. You need understanding to be healed and delivered, because as you abide in the word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Proverbs 15:32 says that when we receive God's discipline, we will attain understanding. So as I go to God and say, Lord, what's the problem with this? As I'm saying, Lord, what's the problem with my eyes? And so I'm going to get in the Word and read it as long as I can. So what's the problem, Lord? Where is the breach? Well, for one thing, it's a generational curse. But where's the breach? I was thinking about this the other day. You know, for 20 years, before I even had anything wrong with my eyes, I've been praying for my eyes. Because I saw ahead all of my family, my grandma and grandpa and my granny, all are almost blind when they died, my mother, my daddy, my four aunts, and so I knew it was a generational curse. So I've been breaking generational curses, and I'm thinking, well, I've been breaking curses. There must be something about our character that would cause that to come upon us. And you know what the Lord showed me? Pride. Does it say, the Bible say, that Moses was the meekest man that lived upon the earth? His eye was not dim, nor was his strength abated. And so, self-satisfied, independent, self-sufficient. In fact, Deuteronomy 32 talks about Jezreel grew fat and kicked. That's produced from the flesh. So you see, I'm saying, okay, Lord, anytime I do that from now on, tell me so I can die to it. You know, the familiar spirits that pass on. See, God wants us to overcome. And so I need understanding to build my spiritual house. Go to Proverbs 24, please. The scripture in Proverbs 24 says, by wisdom. Now, does the Bible say you're a house? 1 Corinthians 3:9 says you're a building, you're a house, you're a field, you're a temple, you're soil. It says by wisdom in verse 3, a house is built, and by understanding it's established. So we have to build our spiritual houses. And it says, and by knowledge all the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases power. You want power? Then you need to know more of the Word. The more of the Word you know, the more power you'll have. The more you die to your flesh, the more of God's glory you'll experience. Okay, so we need understanding to understand His Word. If you abide in my Word, you'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. We need understanding to obey the Word of God. Psalms 119:34 says, give me understanding that I may observe thy law and keep it with all my heart. I need understanding to learn His commandments. Psalms 119:73, thy hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Why do I need to learn God's commandments? It says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The more sin I have, the dimmer the light. Okay, I need understanding because I'll perish without it. Psalms 49:20, man in his pomp yet without understanding is like the beast that perishes. Hosea says, the people without understanding are ruined. Proverbs says, forsake your folly and live and proceed in the way of understanding. Go to Job, please, Job 28. Now, here is his description of wisdom in Job 28. It says in verse 1, surely there's a mine for silver and a place where they refine gold. Iron is taken from the dust and from rock copper is smelted. Man puts an end to darkness. And you can just, I'm not going to read all of it, but read it. It says, description of wisdom. Verse 7, it says, the path of wisdom no bird of prey knows. In other words, if you're walking in wisdom and you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God, the devil can't even see you. Is that right? It says, this path of wisdom no bird of prey knows. And then in verse 12, but where can wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Verse 33, man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says it's not with me, and the sea says it's not with me. Pure gold cannot be given in exchange for it, nor can a silver be weighted as its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Gold or glass cannot equal it, nor can it be exchanged for articles of fine gold. Coral and crystal are not to be mentioned, and the acquisition of wisdom is above that of pearls. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. Verse 20, where then does wisdom come from? And where is the place of understanding? So he asks a question. Thus it's hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the sky. That's a type and shadow of the powers of darkness. So the devil, it says, Abaddon and death say, with our ears we've heard of a report of it. The devil doesn't even know where it is. But it says in verse 23, God understands its way, the way of wisdom, and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he imparted weight to the wind and meted out the waters by measure, when he set a limit for the rain
and a course for the thunderbolt. Then he saw it and declared it. He established it and also searched it out. Now, this is what I want you to hear. And the man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil, that is understanding. So every time I depart from evil, I get more understanding. Every time I go to God and say, God, give me the answer to this problem, He gives me the truth, it makes me free, and I gain understanding every time I ask Him. Because God wants me to have wisdom. Okay, I need understanding to find the roots to my problems. Proverbs 25 says that it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search a matter out. So in every problem that you have in your life, you need to be searching out, God, what is the answer to this? Now, if you grew up with a dad and mom that never taught you anything, never told you anything, never answered your question, then you've got some parent issues that you've got to repent of. Because children get their impression of God from the kind of parents they have. Parents model for us a picture of what God's like. And so if we have a hard time going to God, that tells me that I had a hard time going to my parents. If my parents got mad every time I asked them a question, or if I just perceived them as stupid, see, unconsciously I'm seeing God the same way. So I've got to get rid of my daddy and mother issues, because the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So the purer my heart is toward my parents, the more ability I have to see God in His true character. And I lost my dad, my best friend, in March. He went to be with the Lord. And you could ask him anything, whether you wanted to hear the answer or not, and you'd get it. I used to say, if I ever was stranded someplace, maybe out on an island in the Pacific, if I could only have one person out there, I'd want my daddy, because he'd figure out how to get me off there. And I guess the closest human, and I don't look to Glenn as my daddy. He's my spiritual father. I have such respect for you, Glenn. But I guess Glenn is the person that more closely reminds me of my dad, because he's brave, he's courageous. He can fix anything, do anything. He doesn't ever stop. It's nothing for him to tackle some big old guy back there that's causing trouble. So you better behave yourself. People never mess with my daddy. He was the toughest man around. I never was afraid, because I always felt safe with my daddy. But anyway, it's a great loss. I'm going to have to get rid of his jacket, because every time I touch his jacket, I start crying. I hope that's not some familiar spirit attached to that jacket. If I don't get over this pretty quick, the jacket goes. But I get that jacket and I just touch it. I finally moved it out of my utility room and put it in my closet. And I thought, well, you know, Lord, do you want me to get rid of this jacket? Anyway, I miss my daddy. It's hard to believe that I've had him all these years and I don't have him anymore. The other day I was out in my chicken pen after a few years ago when I heard Howard Pittman speak. I thought, you know, that confirms I need to get some chickens. So I went out to my chicken pen the other day and I thought, there looks like there's something there in the thing. I thought, well, I better go get my gun. So I went and got my pistol. And the back of the chicken pen is facing my house. And so I looked up and there was this big old chicken snake up there, and I was going bam, 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 bam. I shot holes all in the back of my chicken pen. Then I got through and I looked up and there was another big snake, and I was going bam, 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 shooting him. And my son said, Mom, you shouldn't be shooting that pistol toward the house. You could be shooting the holes in your house. And I thought, oh, he didn't know what he's talking about, but I didn't tell him. So I was getting ready to go to bed that night, and I always checked the front door, and I thought, who put water on my front door? I looked, and there was a big hole where I'd shot a hole in the front door. And I went over to my grand. I thought, uh-oh, that bullet's in the house. Where'd it go? And it went through my grandfather clock and fell. You see, once before, my kids came up, and they started to step out of the van, and there was a snake underneath the van. And so they said, "Grandmother, there's a snake in your driveway." So I go get my, I can't find my shotgun because my son has it. So all I can find is my pistol, and I have these little reading glasses, and I thought, there's no way I'm going to hit that snake with a pistol in these reading glasses. Anyway, because he was coiled up, I did kill him. My son ran over next door, "Mom, you shouldn't do that. That bullet can ricochet and you could kill someone." I thought, he didn't know what he's talking about. So the other day when I killed a snake, I thought, God, and then for my friend of mine next door, he measured, one of the snakes was 6 foot and one was 5 foot. I didn't measure them. It's not a fish story, but he measured it. Anyway, he said, "I'm surprised you didn't shoot your whole house full of holes." And I said, "You know what? God disciplined me. He loves me so much. He had mercy. He only let me make one hole in my house." And that was to show me that I better listen to my son, because there could have been some person in there next time that I could have killed them. Because I really thought he didn't know what he's talking about. But anyway, that one was for my discipline. So I thank the Lord for that. Anyway, snake story over. Okay, so I perish without it. I need understanding so I can stay sober and alert. So I can, you know, does the Bible say, "Wake up, sleeper, and arise from the dead, that Christ may shine upon you"?
Amen.
Hey, that's His glory shining upon us. I need understanding that I may live, Psalms 119:144. I need understanding because it's my intimate friend, and you see why it's your intimate friend? Because without understanding, you lack discernment in the days we're living in. And the only protection you and I have in these days of one world government, all these tollways going all over the United States that are owned by foreign governments, our only protection is the Lord. And if we walk the way of wisdom, the enemy cannot even see us. Glory to God. That's also the highway of holiness, Isaiah 35. No fool, no lion, nor no unclean person can walk that highway of holiness. Putting on the armor of light. I need understanding because it's the kind of sport I need to be involved in. You know, we act crazy at football games. I don't, but I don't like them. But I see people just screaming and hollering at ball games. I mean, I have to go because my grandson plays every now and then. I mean, every now and then I go. And but the Bible says in Proverbs 10:23, doing wickedness is like sport to a fool, and so is wisdom to a man of understanding. So understanding can be a sport, just like a sport is a sport. I need understanding because it's better than choice silver. It's a fountain of life, Proverbs 16:22. I need understanding to keep me from being disciplined in my folly. Folly is the opposite of understanding. The Bible says the folly of a fool is his discipline. So whatever area I'm in folly, I'm going to get disciplined. Whatever area I'm not walking in understanding, I'm going to be disciplined. I need understanding to keep me from the assembly of the dead. Proverbs 21:16. A man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. I need understanding to save me from ruination. Hosea 4:14. I need understanding to maintain the mind of Christ. Proverbs 1 says, because they even though they knew God, they didn't glorify Him any longer. And it says they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped the creature rather than the Creator. And God gave them over to a reprobate mind. I need understanding to keep me from being like the Gentiles, like the lost, Ephesians 4:18, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them. Well, how do I lose my understanding? Through spiritual adultery. Hosea 4 says, harlotry, wine, and new wine take away the understanding. I lose my understanding through eating at the table of demons. 1 Timothy 4:1, in latter times men will fall away from the faith, giving heed to doctrines of demons and seducing spirits. I need understanding to keep me from being spiritually drunk. Go to Isaiah 29, please. It says, be delayed and wait. Blind yourself and be blind. They became drunk, but not with wine. Not the local liquor store alcohol. They stagger, but not with strong drink. In other words, they've had no liquor. And here it says, for the Lord has poured over you a spirit of deep sleep. He has shut your eyes, the prophets, and he's covered over your heads, the seers. And the entire vision shall be of this Bible, shall be like the words of a sealed book, which when they give it to the one who is literate, that's the one who has his book learning, he'll say, I can't read it. And he'll give it to the one who's illiterate, and he'll say, I can't read it. Verse 13, then the Lord said, because this people draw near with their words and honor me with lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of traditions learned by rote. Therefore, behold, I will once again deal marvelously with this people, wondrously marvelous, and the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men will be lost, shall be concealed. So if I give God lip service and I'm not walking in repentance, then God pours over me a spirit of deep sleep, a spirit of drunkenness. Go to 2 Thessalonians 2:10. I lose my understanding when I don't love the truth. I want you to ask yourself the question now, are you a person that loves the truth? You'd be surprised how many people who don't love the truth and don't want to hear anything but what they believe. They don't want to hear it. No. You'd be surprised how many people want me to delete them from the mail list. That's right. That's right. And so I want you to ask yourself a question. Are you a lover of the truth? If you're not, God will send upon you a strong delusion in these days. Verse 10, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish. Well, let's back up. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. And then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is the one in whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. And for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they might believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. If you don't love the truth, ask God to give you a love of the truth. Pray until he gives you a love of the truth. Because in these days, if you don't love the truth, you'll be sent a strong delusion, so that you cannot believe and you cannot be saved. I need understanding, because God says if I'm just a hearer of the word and not a doer, I'm deluded. And how I get understanding? Proverbs 9:6, forsake your folly and live and proceed in the way of understanding. Proverbs 1:23, if you'll turn there, please. And we're almost through. It's amazing how it's human nature to perk up when there's a snake story. But to get lulled back when you get back into the Word. You know, the Bible says the Word of God is like a fire and like a hammer that breaks rock. So, Lord, break loose everything that needs to break loose on me and everybody in here in Jesus' name. Proverbs 1:23 says, turn to my reproof, God says. Behold, I'll pour out my Spirit on you and I'll make my words known to you. You know, in John, Jesus said, if any man is determined to know the will of God, he will know if the teaching is from me. I believe the Lord showed me that when you're in a place where they exalt fire, and fire is exalted, I believe the Lord showed me that that is worship of Molech, the fire god. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit upon you, and I'll make my words known to you. In other words, if you listen and repent. Behold, I called, because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. You didn't want my reproof. I'll even laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and when your calamity comes on like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come on you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be satiated in their own devices. In other words, because he called and you didn't listen, destruction comes. Then you're going to call on God and he won't listen. And be satiated in their own devices, for the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and the complacency of fools shall destroy them. But he who listens to me, now this is a tremendous verse for the days we live in, but he who listens to me shall dwell securely and live it and be at ease from the dread of evil. I should have said this earlier when I was talking about the man who was in homosexuality. How do I know he's a false prophet? The other day I want to be able to discern what's what, I was listening to this particular program and they had him on. And he started talking about how he had had a bunch of accusations coming against him. And then I heard him ask this man, have you ever been married? Now, this is a man that was in homosexual. I believe he still is, based on him not taking accountability. He asked this man, he said, are you married? And he said, either yes or no, I don't remember. He said, well, you know, I always wanted to be married. He said, I've lived my whole life celibate. Hello, live right on national TV. So, a person that truly is repentant, you know, God can change any of us. My son died a homosexual life. You know, he lived a homosexual lifestyle. But you know what? He repented of his sin. He got rid of everything anybody had ever given him, broke off every relationship that he had. The difference is, if the man was truly repentant, he would have said, you know, I fell. I'm ashamed of myself. Please forgive me. Either I'm being restored right now or God has restored me. But instead, he tried to cover up his sin. And that tells me he was so confused that he couldn't even remember the name of the man that invited him. You'll know them by their fruits. So I get understanding by digging for it. Proverbs 2 says, go, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 2. It says, my son, if you will receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your ear to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. You know, if somebody told us there was $100 buried out there, we'd be out there with a shovel. So God says, dig for wisdom. In Revelation, it says, God says, I would that you were hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, you're going to get spit out of his mouth, he said. He said, I advise for you to buy from me gold refined by fire and white raiment to clothe yourself and eye salve to anoint your eyes. And that word gold in the Greek means gold that's been buried in the ground and you have to dig it out. And can I tell you, this is where the gold is in God's Word. The Word of God has been lost in most places. Most places are absolutely wordless. And God wants those of us who love the Word to do everything we can to try to encourage people to get back in the Word. I get understanding by having a cool spirit. Proverbs 14:29 says, he slow to anger has great understanding. See, if I'm slow to anger, that just means that I've died to a lot of idols. Because idols are linked in. Anger is connected to idolatry. So is depression. And so the more idolatry I die to, the greater understanding. It says, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. I get I get understanding by searching a matter out, Proverbs 25, allowing God to discipline me in the midst of my trials and my problems. Dig through it, seek for it, cry out for wisdom, cry out for discernment. Submit to His Lordship. Wherever a person has experienced true revival, Jesus Christ will be 100% Lord of his life. I want to say that again. True revival is when you and I make Jesus Christ the Lord and Master of our life. I get understanding through being in His Word, Psalms 119, 130. It says, the enfolding of thy words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. From thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Psalms 119. I get understanding through having a fear of God that turns me away from evil. And you know what? We need to fear God more than we fear God. Lord, we ask you to cause our fear of you to pick up in Jesus' name. Okay, if you will stand up and let's ask the Lord to show you what you need to repent of. Is there anything, any area of not loving the truth, any area where God wants you to repent? Father, in the name of Jesus, pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, Lord, for the truth that makes me free. Give me understanding that I may live. Lord, show me what I need to repent of so that I can get a deluding influence off of me. So that I can have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that can understand. And then just repent, and then when you're through, if you'll sit down, then we'll do a group deliverance, and then we'll be through. You know, when Dr. Knoll said, don't just let anybody lay hands on you, because Moses laid hands on Joshua and imparted wisdom. You can impart good things, but make sure whoever puts hands on you, there's no human that's perfect, but make sure a person is walking as uprightly, in other words, Jesus Christ is Lord of their life. But what happens in some of these meetings, if there's New Age and there's occultic mixed in, is that when they lay hands on them, it imparts those same demons, and it's like they're blind, like a bunch of zombies after that. And you couldn't get them in a repentance meeting if your life depended on it. They want the warm fuzzies. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for being drunk with wine, dissipation, excess of anything, and not being filled with your Spirit. Forgive me that my heart has been weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for not being a disciple. Forgive me for spending little time in your Word, little time with you. Forgive me for not having discernment, wisdom, discretion, prudence, knowledge, understanding. God, in Jesus' name, forgive me for not producing fruit. Forgive me for a hard heart. Forgive me for being the soil that the seed falls beside the road, because I have no understanding. Forgive me for the worries and cares and pleasures of this life that have choked out the Word. Forgive me for not building my spiritual house with wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Forgive me for not obeying the Word of God. Lord, forgive me for not learning your commandments. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for not being sober and alert. Forgive me for giving you lip service. God, forgive me for not making understanding a sport. God, forgive me for not wanting wisdom more than gold. Forgive me for not digging in your Word for it. God, forgive me for not seeking after understanding. That's a fountain of life. God, forgive me for folly. Forgive me for wandering from the way of understanding, which would cause me to rest in the assembly of the dead. Forgive me for spiritual adultery, spiritual harlotry. God, forgive me for committing adultery against you, my bridegroom. Forgive me for eating at the table of demons, sitting under false teachers. Forgive me for not loving the truth. Lord, give me a love of the truth. Forgive me for being a hearer of the word and not a doer. Forgive me for exchanging the truth of God for a lie and worshiping the creature rather than the Creator. Forgive me for not turning to your reproof so you could pour your Spirit out upon me. Forgive me that you called and I did not want your correction. I refused your reproof. And now, Lord, I ask for mercy when I call out to you. God, forgive me for not listening to you so I can dwell securely and be at ease from the dread of evil. Forgive me for not dwelling in your secret place and abiding under your shadow and protection. Forgive me for wickedness that would cause my lamp to go out. God, forgive me for being too passive and lazy to dig and seek out your wisdom. Forgive me for not having a cool spirit. Forgive me for being hopeless. Forgive me for seeing you like I saw my mother and father. No answers, no intelligence, no help. God, you're nothing like them. Forgive me for not allowing you to discipline me. God, I submit to your lordship. Forgive me for being like a horse and a mule that has no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle. Forgive me for not walking the way of wisdom, having no fear of you, and Lord, not getting your precepts from your word. And Lord, I take accountability for everything I've confessed, any familiar spirit that would bring a lack of understanding down on me generationally. I ask you, I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses, in the name of Jesus. Now, in Jesus' name, I just come against spirits of drunkenness. I come against folly in the name of Jesus. I break your power, deluding influence. I command you to go. Spirit of stupor, I command you to leave. Dullness, dimness, eyes that see not, ears that hear not, I command you to go in Jesus' name. I break your power. Spirit of stupor, I break your power in Jesus' name. Come out of every person in here in the name of Jesus. Spirit of folly, I command you out of every person in this room in the name of Jesus. Spirit of sleep, I command you out. Ignorance, I command you out. A lack of desire of the Word of God, I command you to go. Every spirit of not loving the truth of God, I command you out. All spirits that are of haters of truth, out in Jesus' name. I break your power in the name of Jesus. Spirit of dimness, Pharisee spirits. Spirits that came in through giving lip service. Spirits that block discernment, I command you to go. Spirits that block truth, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. I command all spirits of a fool, spirits of folly, out in Jesus' name. A spirit of demonic fear of God, I command you to go. Every spirit of resisting God's word, spirits of lawlessness and rebellion, I command you to go. In the name, power, blood, and by the authority of Jesus. All spirits that hinder understanding, I command you to go. In the name of Jesus. All spirits of death, spirits of, that are causing them to perish, I command you to go. All spirits of drunkenness, stupor, I command you to go. In sobriety, I command you to go. Spirits that keep them from being on the alert, out in Jesus' name. Spirits of slumber, sluggishness, spiritually naked, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of sickness, distress, disease, blindness, cataract, glaucoma, macular degeneration of the eyes, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Blindness, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. I break your power in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, mighty God. I bless you, Lord. All spirits of dissipation, spirits that cause their heart to be weighted down with the worries of life, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Lord, you said to snatch people out of the fire, so I snatch them out of the fire in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask you to come upon us like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap to purify the sons of Levi. God, we praise you. We bless you. We bless you. Lord, we pray that your glory and your glory and your true fire will be wherever we go. And Lord, show us if these people, if people are working these kind of miracles and they're in error, show us what's wrong with us. In Jesus' name, God, we should be healing the sick. In the name of Jesus, we cry out, Lord, help us. Praise you, Lord. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Amen. And Lord, we pray that we will meditate on you in the night watches. Father, I pray that we'll lay down and sleep in peace because you alone, O Lord, cause us to dwell in safety. We bless you, Lord. We bless you. We bless you. Father, multiply our sleep. Invigorate us. Let times of refreshment come even as we sleep. We ask you, Lord, that we will think about you in the night watches. We pray that the last thing we think about when we go to bed at night is you, and the first thing we think about when we wake up will be you, and we'll think about you all night. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.